Today's episode is sponsored by Liquid IV. I work out every week, so it's important to stay hydrated. Plus, on top of working out, I've got a 3-year-old whose favorite after-meal activity is to run laps, like the little psychopath that she is. Clearly, I need all the hydration I can get. That's why I like to use Liquid IV for my workouts and just for my daily drinking. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. And I mean, yeah, vitamins and electrolytes are nice and all, but what about taste? They've got white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and my favorite, lemon lime. Tastes great to me. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code R/ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code R/ at liquidiv.com. Today's episode is sponsored by Noom. Dieting is tough. I know, I'm in the middle of one. I'm 20 pounds down, and I still got a lot more to go. One of the things that's so tough about dieting is there's too much advice. A million different websites and a million different diet plans, when what you really need is one diet plan, yours. That's where Noom comes in. Noom uses psychology and your own unique biological factors that affect weight loss to help you develop a weight loss plan customized for you. To date, Noom has helped more than 5 million people lose weight. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. Active first-time Noom users lose an average of 15 pounds in 15 weeks, and 95% of customers say that Noom is a good long-term solution. This is based on a 3.5-year study of actively engaged Noom users with a minimum starting BMI of 25. Individual results may vary. Visit our website for more information. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com and experience Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Welcome to r/Petty Revenge, where mailbox vandals learn an expensive lesson. Our next Reddit post is from Stacked Barrels. My sister lives in a more rural area and has recently been plagued with having her mailbox smashed in twice in 1 month. Someone was playing mailbox baseball and she was one of the victims. She asked for my help, and she was worried about staying within the law to protect herself. I told her that we could figure something out, so I went to Home Depot and purchased 2 identical steel mailboxes, the traditional kind with a rounded top. I took one mailbox and glued a layer of 1/16 foam underlayment to the inside. I filled it with concrete, making sure to add the appropriate rebar with a curved handle sticking out of the end. Once everything was set, I cut off the outer mailbox shell and used a torch to burn off the foam underlayment still stuck to the concrete. What was left was a slightly undersized concrete plug that would perfectly fit in the second mailbox and that could be inserted and removed. You see, my sister is afraid of snakes. By inserting the concrete plug into her mailbox at night, it would give her the peace of mind that a snake can't get into her mailbox. I installed the second mailbox and informed my sister how the anti-snake concrete plug worked and explained that the best time to put it in the mailbox would be at night. Strangely enough, one morning there was a mark on our new mailbox and a bunch of small glass pieces along the road. Hypothetically speaking, it was the kind of glass produced by someone swinging a baseball bat, having it bounce back off the mailbox and smashing a car window. On a positive note, her mailbox has remained snake-free. Down in the comments, we have this story from Moppet331. My stepsister's boyfriend was fond of mailbox baseball way back when. He came up against one of those retrofitted mailboxes and shattered several bones in his hand. He learned. And we also have this story from Homegrown Coffee. A retired linesman in the area had his mailbox pushed over repeatedly. The tire track suggested that it was pushed over by a car at low speed. He made a long right angle out of metal attached to the base of the mailbox so that if the mailbox was pushed over, the long feet would lift up. This was enough to lift the front end of the car off the ground. And hearing the commotion, he came out of his house to have a friendly chat with the 2 teenagers and their stuck car. And another story from Overall Taylor. Many, many moons ago, we lived in a rural part of the state and had similar things happening, along with the occasional run over by a lifted truck. My dad got one of the oversized mailboxes, used a standard one for the core, and filled it in. He ended up with a regular mailbox that had about 2 inches of reinforced concrete around it. This was mounted to a 6-foot-long pivoting pole that was, in turn, mounted to a steel I-beam sunk into concrete about 6 feet away from the edge of the road. Sure enough, a few months later, the mailboxes swung away from the road, and there's a small pile of glass and a bent aluminum baseball bat by the road. And another story from Important Lime. We live in a rural area in the mountains. One summer, there were kids playing mailbox baseball. We had a metal mailbox, and it got smashed. A neighbor up the road from us was outside celebrating the 4th of July, lighting off fireworks and drinking, when the mailbox smashers passed by his place. He tossed a huge lit firework at the car, and it landed in the windshield wiper well. Next thing you know, their windshield was shattered and on the driver's laps. They took off and haven't been back since. It was a beautiful throw. Also, no mailboxes have been wrecked since then. Man, the stories just keep coming. This one's from Walnut Creek. There was a rash of mailbox smashing in a rural Virginia farm community where I used to live. It was happening regularly in the afternoons, so deputies began quietly driving around that area in their personal or unmarked vehicles. Yeah, they nabbed a teenage kid mid-swing. They hauled him into the sheriff's office and called his family. His mom, the local postmaster, answered the phone. I'll bet that was some fun therapy to unpack. Then this story from Littlest Echo. My dad was a little redneck turd as a kid, and there was nothing to do in the 50s, so he and his little brother thought it was a brilliant idea to get M80s and blow up mailboxes on the street. They got caught. How? Because they didn't think to blow up their own mailbox. They got grounded an entire summer for that stunt. Our next Reddit post is from Sweet Speech. Our neighbor, Karen, complained about another neighbor's motorcycle. It's a stock bike, so he didn't add any loud muffles, and prior to this, he was very respectful. He would start up the bike and drive it conservatively out of the neighborhood. But then comes Karen. Karen complains about everything, and everyone knows about her. She's complained several times about the motorcycle and calls the cops frequently for dumb things. This time, she decided to go too far and tried to prevent the motorcycle from leaving the neighborhood. She nearly ran the guy over. So now, because Karen literally tried to murder someone, the motorcycle rider starts his motorcycle a few times a day, rides to Karen's house a couple of houses down, revs his engine for a few minutes, then speeds away in the most obnoxious way possible. He even had some of his buddies come by in a sort of F you Karen parade. I talked to him. We know each other and he's a decent dude, and he at least agreed to stop doing this at night to ride safely since there's a lot of kids in the area. I honestly can't blame him at all, because everybody hates this B word, and she deserves much worse considering what she did. I just wish there was a legal way to get her to stop being such a B word. Then, within 24 hours, OP posted an update. Well, things seemed to be escalating rather quickly. I saw my neighbor in his driveway and went to talk to him. He gave me a just don't kind of look, and I went back inside. Then, 3 tow trucks came in and very quickly took Karen's 2 cars and her RV. There was a lot of screaming from Karen, but the biker had his phone out, so she stopped short of hitting him. He's also a pretty big guy, so she might have just been scared. I have no idea what happened, but hopefully this means the noise will be back to normal. Then OP posted another update. So first off, Karen decided to try to slap a police officer, so she's in the back of a cop car right now. From what I gathered, Karen got divorced a few years ago. We always wondered how she managed to keep the house, 2 cars, and an RV. There were rumors that she had an affair, but nobody knew for sure. Apparently, the agreement was that the husband, who moved in with their adult son, would get both the cars and the RV, and Karen would get the house. But the husband couldn't take the cars or the RV because he didn't have anywhere to keep them. So he made a separate agreement to let Karen drive one of their cars in exchange for storage of the other car and the RV. Here's where it gets interesting. When Karen tried to run over the biker, she wasn't driving the car that she was supposed to be driving. The biker decided to get Karen's insurance and file a claim, only to find out that the insurance and registration were in the husband's name. The biker had the husband's email, so he contacted the husband and let him know what happened, because he felt bad that he accidentally dinged the husband's insurance instead of Karen's. The husband got upset and called up to have all three vehicles towed, because apparently he's out of town on business. He let the biker know and asked him to update him when the vehicles were taken. I'm not sure where they took the vehicles. Also, the cops just left. They let Karen go, for some reason, and she's crying in the middle of her driveway. I'm disappointed she didn't get arrested, but I think she learned her lesson. I don't know if she got any tickets or what, but probably not if they let her go. Down in the comments, okay, Nishnig Jones says, they may have made a paper arrest where they cited her, gave her a court date, and essentially released her on her own recognizance without being arraigned. It's become a lot more common post-COVID. And then Zoom Zoom Zack Attack says, she's not a flight risk. All our cars just got towed. Our next Reddit post is from Be Kind or Be Silent. At my son's birth, my ex's mom told me that I'd ruined their family by having a kid with her son and tainting their family line. We're both white, but they're from a neighboring country that they pride themselves on. His family showed themselves to be really vile racists in general. I'm glad that we aren't family anymore, and his dad walked out a few years ago, so the trash took itself out. Cut to yesterday. My son got the results of our genetic test kits that he got as a present. My DNA shows 81% of the background that they're so obsessed with no trace of the genetic profile that they hate so much. My son, however, was 53% of the race that they love and 16% of the race that they hate. So I guess it wasn't me that was doing the polluting of the gene pool. The very first thing my son did was send the results to his dad and grandmother. He obviously has no idea what she said at his birth, but man, that had to have hurt her a little. Down in the comments, we have this story from Cheddarburner. My wife's family is very racist. Thankfully, she isn't. We ran her DNA out of curiosity. My family? Scandinavian, Irish, British, basically white as snow. Her family? 8% African American. Yeah, I lolled hard, and I ensured that I was in the room when her dad heard this. Best money I ever spent. Our next Reddit post is from Flessorian. Many moons ago, around the early 2000s, I worked for a small tech company in the Midwest. I started out as a customer service rep. My husband also worked there in a higher level position in a different apartment. There was an officer manager there who didn't like me at all when I got hired. She was originally a billing rep and got moved to an office manager position when the original one who hired me quit. As an added note, her brother also worked in the same department as my husband. I was pretty much a model employee. My stats were great, I was always on time, and customer feedback surveys were always glowing when I was on shift. However, it seemed like this lady had it out for me because she was always trying to find something to nitpick about my performance. I divulged all this to my husband, and he admitted that prior to us getting together and before I was hired, she had expressed interest in dating him, but he rejected her. I complained about this to the owner, but he pretty much just shrugged it off because she had been there forever and he didn't want to rock the boat. Come performance review time, she gave me a terrible review and a tiny raise. Everyone else on the team got a 50 cents an hour raise, but I got a nickel per hour raise. About 6 months later, there was a big shakeup in the company with people leaving. Shortly thereafter, a couple of big accounts that my boss was pursuing ended up going to another company. Thinking that perhaps information about the accounts that he was trying to land was leaked to another company, he sent a couple of people home, with pay, for 2 days while he investigated, including the office manager who hated me. On day two, he met with the team and confirmed that there was no leak, so he'd be bringing the workers back in. Cue the petty revenge. I had found the office manager's blog some time ago, and she had been posting frequent updates since the shakeup. When she was sent home, she posted multiple updates about the situation, including how she figured the owner would screw up payroll, not pay taxes, and get in trouble with the IRS. She also posted some pretty derogatory things about the owner. She did make a feeble attempt to keep it anonymous by spelling everyone's name backwards and making up a fake name for the company, but it was very clear that it was her and our company that she was talking about. After the team meeting, I asked to meet with my boss alone and showed him all the posts. He dug into the post and found even more damning stuff that she had written, including how she couldn't stand me and wanted to get me fired. I couldn't contain my shit-eating grin when she returned to the office, only to be told to pack up her stuff and go. Within a year, I had a big pay bump and a promotion to management, and I assume she's off somewhere making people miserable. Man, that's such a dumb way to lose your job. Getting fired because of your blog? Who reads blogs anyways? Our next Reddit post is from Dickiebo. This happened in my second year of university in the UK circa 1998. Six of us shared a house with an even split between boys and girls. John was my best mate, and he was very shy and had no confidence with girls. He got on really well with the girls that we lived with, Sarah in particular. When we moved in, Sarah had a boyfriend who, thankfully, she broke up with after a few months because he was a dick. After this, Sarah and John grew closer, and she would quite often sit and cuddle with him while watching TV, dance with him when we were out, and generally spend a lot of time with him. John was clueless about women and thought they were just besties, but it was clear to everyone that they were into each other. The important part to this story is that John was still a virgin. Our other male housemate, Steve, was the opposite of John. He was a player. He had a girlfriend from high school who was a few hours away at another university, so he'd regularly sleep with anyone who would have him. He also had a crush on Sarah and hit on her a few times and got rejected. Steve used to mock John for being a virgin. At first it was infrequent, but then when John and Sarah were getting closer, he started to call him Virgin Boy in an attempt to belittle him. The rest of us told him to knock it off, but he persisted for a few weeks. Not long after we got back from Christmas break, a few of us were in the living room. Steve walked in and asked me and Virgin Boy if we'd like to order pizza for dinner. Sarah walked in from the kitchen at that point, walked over to John, sat on his knee, kissed him, looked at Steve and said, "You can't call him that anymore. We had a great time this morning. Oh, geez." And he made me finish several times. I doubt you've ever managed that with your tiny C word. The rest of us sat there trying to stifle laughter. Steve went bright red, mumbled something, and went to his room. Turns out, Sarah had made a move on John that morning. They both admitted to being into each other and had slept together. Sarah snapped when she heard her boyfriend called Virgin Boy and decided she had enough of Steve. John and Sarah are still together, married with three kids. That was our /Petty Revenge, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.